If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch with the power of your grace. God, I believe you to minister to us tonight. For God, it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, "Hey, God's going to build this church." Peter confesses, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus spins around and makes a confession of his own. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church." Amen. Can I tell you, anytime you confess Jesus for who he is, he will respond to it in some way. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. Whenever we confess him, he will respond. Amen. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God, but ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." God is building his church, and he's building it through you and I. The New Testament contains several analogies that describe the nature of God's work on the earth. One analogy is that of a builder of his building. God is the supreme architect. Jesus is the master builder. The Holy Spirit, the agent who gathers the materials needed for the project. We are the materials he gathers and uses to construct the building. Like other buildings, the church has a foundation, has walls, roofs, a point of entry, a door, and we consider each component in this message. I want you to understand where you belong in the house of God. Amen. You see, there is no reason to have a church if there's nobody in it. One of my sayings when I evangelized was years was, "I appreciate you being here, because if you didn't show up, wouldn't have been no need me coming." Amen. And I do appreciate the fact that God is working in our church, but can I tell you, we've only seen the very beginning of what God wants to do in Alabaster, Alabama. Amen. I know some of you sitting there said, "Preacher, you keep saying that." Well, some of you need to listen to it. You need to understand, you've got loved ones that are lost that God wants to bring in. You've got neighbors that are lost that God wants to bring in. You've got friends that don't know God, and God wants to make a place for them. And the only way that's going to happen is if you and I get busy and realize, if God's building the church, if we'll just get involved, he'll use us to build it with him. Could you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. One guy says, "I don't want my house no bigger." God does. He likes his house just keep getting bigger and bigger. Glory. Somebody said, "You about numbers?" No, I'm about souls. And I got enough sense to know that when a man goes fishing, he'd rather fish in a pond with a lot of catfish than one ain't got but one in it. Come on, church. So I want God to fish in my pond. To do that, I got to get a bunch of fish in it. Come on, church. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, we need some miracles around here." Do you know how you get miracles to happen? Get a bunch of sinners to show up. God never does miracles to impress his people. He does miracles that the sinner might believe. And if we'll fill this building up with people that aren't where they need to be with God, I've got a God that'll start doing miracles to let them know who he is. And I don't know about you, but I could use some of those miracles. Could you say amen? You say, "Well, preacher, is God really that good?" Previous construction projects. Amen. If church is not God's first construction project, let's face it, he started out with the whole universe. I had a guy over there this week come by me and said, "Hey, preacher, you ever heard of the Big Bang Theory?" I looked at him, I said, "Well, yeah, I've heard of the Big Bang Theory." He said, "You believe in it?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't believe that a piece of protoplasm became something and turned into a monkey and made it to man either." I said, "The theory of evolution and the theory of the Big Bang is not something I adhere to." I said, "But I will tell you, I was in a philosophy class one time and a professor was picking on me and he said, 'You believe in the Big Bang Theory?' I said, 'Well, I'm not going to say yes or no. I'll just sit here for a while.' He said, 'Well, you're not going to argue with me, and you're a preacher?' I said, 'Not nothing to argue about.' I said, 'I believe God created everything. You believe it all came from a star?' Now, you tell me who made the star, I'll tell you who I serve. It really don't matter to me how it got here. I just know he spoke the words, and it all came into existence. And I said, so in the beginning, there was God, nothing else. He said, let there be, and everything started happening. I said, doesn't matter to me how he did it. I don't understand it. I just know that's the way it took place. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, I see this is going to be interesting. Amen. But you know, church, the reality is that's God's project. He began with nothing, made everything out of nothing, hung it on nothing, told it to stay there. And now it all operates just like he wants to. Could you say amen? And let me just throw something at you. It won't cost you nothing. But do you know the stars or the planets in our universe, two of them spin backwards to all the rest of them? If they came from an explosion, it all spun the same way. Hello? Just so you'll understand how I really believe, if there'd have been an explosion, everything coming off the explosion would have spun the same way. We got two spins the other way. You know why? God was going to debunk that theory before I ever figured it out. Hallelujah. Amen. But you say, preacher, what you getting at? Well, if God could build the universe, make it all work. Come on, church. Y'all understand that when we circle the earth, when we circle the sun, the earth moves around in a certain way. All the other planets do the same thing, that if they ever got out just a little bit, we'd have all kind of problems. I mean, if the moon moved just a little bit, we'd have all kind of problems. I mean, we got all these things are just such a minute thing that has to make it work, and God's got it all under control and making it go that way. And if he can do that, I believe he can build a church. I believe he can put the church together and make it go. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, that's great, preacher. What you talking about? First of all, you got to have a good foundation. Hello? You're going to build a house. First thing you want to do is make sure your foundation's right. I heard a guy preaching one time. He was trying to preach on heaven. And, of course, he was preaching like the old-time holiness preachers. And he got to reading all them jewels in that foundation. He said, yeah, he put all the junk in the foundation. I said, dude, you don't put junk in the foundation. That's the most important part of your building. He said, well, he did. Look at all that stuff he put in. I said, that's the most precious stuff he could find. Come on, church. He put it in there because he wanted a good foundation. Because if you ain't got a good foundation, the house ain't going to be there. Hello? Y'all remember the story of the three little pigs? One built on a bad foundation, another built on sand, one of them built out of brick, one out of stubble, one out of sticks, and finally you get down to the end, the one that had the good foundation in the brick home was still living and doing good. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Listen to what the Psalm says in Psalms 102:25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Glory. I remember a scripture one time I memorized. And it's in the book of Psalms. It just simply says this: when you see the stars, the handiworks of my fingers, you know there is a God somewhere. Now that may not mean nothing to you, but I remember the first time I pulled that in my head. I was laying on the back of a car where I had just fallen from a walkway at an apartment complex in a situation I shouldn't have been in a condition I shouldn't have been in, away from God, not knowing anything about church, hating Christians, and I'm laying on the back of that car looking at the stars, and somewhere in a Sunday school class, somebody had quoted that. Somewhere, somebody had said it to me, and God run it through my brain. That was in November of 1973. From that time forward to February of 1974, I run into Christians and people telling me about God, and every time I turned around, somebody else would talk to me about God till I ended up in church talking about God myself. And I want to tell you something, honey, there is a God, and when you see the work of his hands and you realize what a great God there is that can put it all together, you realize that God is what my foundation is all about. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. It's an amazing thing what God can do. But can I tell you something, church? God's church only has one foundation. Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Amen. Glory. He said, I'm laying a foundation. Jesus is the only foundation of the church. Now, I've heard people argue that the foundation of the church was faith. Oh, yeah, we got to have faith. No, faith ties you to the foundation. It's kind of like the nails that tie the rat seal down. Glory. Hello? I remember one time a fella argued with me. And he said, well, preacher, you got to understand, you know, there could be more than one foundation, not for the church. There is no possibility for there to be more foundation than that within the church. Listen, in Romans chapter 9, for it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? I'm trying to tell you, God has already put him down there, and that foundation has been laid, and it's there for us to use. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, you just read in your scripture. I read it a while ago. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And you know there's a lot of people believe, because Peter preached the first sermon, that he is the foundation of the church. He is not the foundation of the church. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, you ever notice that when you read a conversation or you hear it over a tape or a radio, you miss something? I remember preaching one time at a church, and they taped it, and some guy called me and said, hey, right in the middle of that sermon tape I got of you, everybody started laughing. What happened? I said, well, did you hear the little boom and the crash? He said, yeah. I said, that was when I tripped over the cord and fell. I didn't jump up going, hey, I just fell, so everybody on the tape would know what happened. They just had to kind of surmise what went on. Well, you see, this is Ken Stroop, Book of Theology, page 3. There's a conversation going on. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And the first thing Jesus done was try to keep him getting the big head, saying, you didn't figure this out on your own. God revealed it to you, you wouldn't know. But then he turned around, and this is what I believe happened. He said, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I'm going to build my church. You say, well, preacher, you could prove that if you wanted to. Sure I can. I wouldn't have made the statement if I couldn't prove it. See, if you go to the Greek text, you'll find out. He said, thou art Peter, Petros. Petros is a word translated, simply means a partial piece of a rock. Amen. Then he said, but upon this rock, Petra, which is the solid rock, the full rock. Amen. So he looked at Peter and said, you're a chip off the old block, but I'm the block, honey. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think you could prove that. Well, listen, Peter understood it. Because if you go to 1 Peter and you read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 or verse 5, he said, and ye also lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice and acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is it contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone becomes the builder's disallowed. The same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of a stumbling, and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You say, what are you talking about? Peter turned around and said, hey, I know who he is. You may not know, but he is the chief cornerstone. I am not. I am just a lively stone like you. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? That's what God loves. He loves to take inanimate objects and put life in it. I don't know about you, but I can remember when I had no life. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but God took a hold of me and began to put life in me, and now I'm a living part of the outpouring of the building of the church, stuck in a foundation of Jesus Christ, being used by his glory through the life-giving force that he has given unto me. Hallelujah. Well, I'm still not sure. Well, listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I give unto you as a wise master builder. I'm throwing the lady off in the back. I'll find it so you can read it with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? There's only one foundation. And can I tell you this? When you get on this foundation, it don't shake. Hallelujah. You can depend on this foundation. It don't move. You can be happy about it. Let the storm come. Let the trouble come. The rock won't shake. The foundation won't move. And if you're founded in the right place, you'll still be there when it's over. Could you say amen? Before all the terrorist junk got started, you used to go to Muscle Shoals. You could go down in front of the big dam there, and you could get where they let the barges through. That's one of the biggest locks I've ever been around. I used to go down just for the amazement. I could sit there and watch them put boats through that just to see it. I mean, they put 350 million gallons of water in that lock to take a boat from the upper part to the lower part. Now, putting it in there is not a problem. They just open a valve and free flow it from the upper lake. Letting it out, they just open a valve and let it blow out. But that's where the fun comes in. Because you see, it used to, they'd let you cross and get on the other side where you could see down by the dam, and they would sound a siren, and you'd see those guys fishing. Boy, they'd be turning them boats on, and they'd getting out of there. Can you imagine the chaos of 350 million gallons coming out to the point you can see the boat dropping? Because when they started it out, it'd be like this, and all of a sudden you see that boat start doing this, going down, until it got way down yonder so you could see little guys walking around on a deck look like ants, and you're up there going, wow. And all that water blows out over there in that length of time. It's total chaos. It starts a little bubble, then a boil, then another little bubble, boil. Next thing you know, water's going everywhere. Water that wasn't there is now there. And we're sitting there, and Alex is going to remember this. If he don't, I'm going to remind him. We're watching it. Chaos hits. These cranes and stuff are down there on the water, and all of a sudden they start flying every which way. Birds going everywhere. And man, that water's running out. It's bubbling white. It's running through the woods. It's going everywhere. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all that, this one bird's standing there on the rock. Water hit his foot. He went. It kind of settled down. Some of the other birds started coming in. He put his wings out. Wah! Alex said, hey, Dad, what's he doing? I said, he's getting on the rest of them for running. He's trying to tell them if you get a good rock, you ain't got to leave when a storm goes bad. You got to understand, Alex traveled with me. The first thing out of his mouth after that was, that's a sermon, ain't it? And I've used it ever since. If you get the right foundation, you don't have to worry about the storm. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Notice this. Not only do you have to have a foundation, but you got to have the walls. Listen to 1 Peter 2. To whom coming unto lively stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, can you imagine what it's like? That God just reaches down and takes just all kind of junk and makes something out of it. Come on, church. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege that I have to see a stonemason work stone, but it amazes me how they can take a stone, look at it, and they've been doing it a while. They'll take a hammer, and they'll pop that corner off just like they want it. You ever watched the people do that? I've watched people put down tile, and I think, man, that ain't that hard till you try it. I've seen them, you know, the pastor at Vance Church of God is legally blind, but he lays tile and stuff for a living. And I had him helping me one time put some ceramic tile in. He sat there and he'd look, and he'd go, take a little hognose fly and go, throw it down and fit perfect. I got in the other bathroom, was going to cut a piece of that tile like that, and I broke four or five pieces. I finally just said, hey, just go do that. Glory. I watched stonemasons laying stone outside, and they'd have a hole. They got to put a piece of stone in, and they'd sit there and look at it and cock around like, I'd be like, wow. That looks so easy. Till you tried. Then you got rocks. You need a slingshot just so nobody knows what you did. Hello? But you ever noticed how our God can take a piece of junk and mold it and make it and work on it? And next thing you know, there's something good out of it. Come on, church. Amen. I mean, we like John Richardson, but I mean, if those of you know his testimony, realize where he came from, you understand there's been a lot of rock carving going on to get him where he is. Amen. And nothing is more thrilling to me than to sit down talking to somebody at Turning Point or down at the jail when I go down with Brother Smith, and they get talking about, you really ain't got a clue where I'm coming from. And I just start to grin because I understand I was where you are at one time in my life. I was a stone that wasn't worth anything, but I got a God that began to mold on me and to build on me. And now what you see is a finished product of something that could be used by his glory. And can I tell you, every one of us need to look back and say, hey, it doesn't matter how good, how bad I was. I was an unusable stone until God got a hold of me, put life in my body, and put me where I needed to be into the kingdom of God to form the walls that God could use to build his church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and the saints of the household of God, and are built upon a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through his Spirit. So what are you talking about? We fitly join together because we're part of what God's doing for us. Hello? Come on, church. I spent a lot of time in the woods thinking about this sermon, so it's going to last a while. I should have warned you to bring your lunch. Glory. The apostles, the prophets are the secondary elements of the foundation, and then we come along. But the foundation upon which we are built is truly amazing, for it's large enough to accommodate every stone that ever finds its way in. The great thing about our foundation is if it gets full, it just expands. They don't have to call a concrete truck and then remap everything. It just kind of lies out, so we're never going to fill it up. There's always going to be room for one more wall. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Listen, you've got to get things built and built properly. If you do that, then everything's going to be all right. But can I tell you what happens to some people? They start building and they get a little vertical lean and they don't realize it until they've gotten such a lean they can't make it anymore. Any of you ever heard of the place in Italy called Pisa? Well, they were building a bell tower and they got it up and got the third floor before they realized it was leaning. And in the early 90s, they shut it down because that tower was leaning so much that even though it's a great site to bring in tourists, they couldn't let nobody go in it because they was afraid it was actually going to fall. And now they've shored it up, put cement under it, got it all packed up, and they still got it laying over on a good degree of angle. And they've opened it back up. Well, if you want to, you can go up in it and look around. I'll be honest with you, church. I could see it from the ground and be happy. Because it'd be my luck, I'd get in there and something would give. Hello? And I'd hate to know I was in a piece of pizza. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, it happens to our lives. We've seen Christians get saved, start working on their life with God, and get a little bit of a lean, and next thing you know, they're out. But if you keep that foundation level on the way up, everything stays level when you get up. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. See, the walls are not going to do anything but what the foundation tells them and allows them to do. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No. But not only do you need a foundation and walls, you also got to have some furniture. No house looks complete without furniture, appliances, decorations. The church is made functional and is beautiful by the gifts of God's Spirit, the many graces and the blessings that abound toward the church. You ever notice when you walk in your house, every piece of furniture has a purpose? You don't ever cook on the couch, do you? Huh? I hope you don't. I ain't coming to your house if you do. And although some people sleep on the couch, they normally try to go to bed when bedtime comes because you got a purpose for that piece of furniture. And you ever notice that when you get in the house, you've got a purpose for everything there, but everything makes it all become a home? And that's exactly what happens in the church. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't teach. But everybody's got something they can do to make this place a home for the presence of God to come in. Come on, church. Y'all have heard me say this, but everybody can pray, but not everybody has a spirit of prayer. There is nothing more aggravating to me than to get around somebody that's got a spirit of prayer and try to pray with them. It's just disheartening. I mean, I'm over there struggling. I don't know about y'all. Y'all may just, you know, you just turn on the tape recorder in your brain and it run, but I have to fight it praying. Hello? Most people do. That's why most people don't pray much. Because they get down to praying, and when it starts getting hard, they quit. And that's when you're supposed to keep going. But I can be praying, and in 15 minutes, I've started making up stuff because I done said everything I could think of and started thinking some other stuff I need to be talking about. I got a bad habit, if I can, when I'm praying, and I know I'm going to be praying a very long time, I keep a Bible open. I just start reading scripture. Like he don't figure out that's his words I'm giving him back. But sometimes that impresses him. Glory. Because I'm quoting his word to him, man. And you'd be surprised how sometimes you'd be sitting there reading, and all of a sudden you realize, man, that's what I wanted to say. That's pretty good. You just keep reading. Glory. But I've actually gone to prayer meeting. I remember in Georgia one time, I went to prayer meeting every morning at 5 o'clock. The pastor and I would meet some people to pray. And this one guy was out there praying one morning. He's going, and at 5:30, he's on a roll. Man, I done got to the point, I've done amen and hallelujah and all I could do. And I finally, I just sat down and started going, yeah, yeah, I agree with him. Pastor come up, I said, what are you doing? I said, man, he's got it rolling. I'm just going along with him. He said, well, you're supposed to be praying. I said, my Bible said, if any two on this earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. I'm just agreeing with him and making it work. Glory. The point is, we all have a job, something we can do to make this house a home. Come on, church. But we also got to have something that's even more important than some of the things I've talked about. We need a roof, a covering. Church is a marvelous building indeed. It covers that which is protected from outside elements that can harm. The covering protection is God himself. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Preacher, what are you talking about? That word shadow, if you really get around it, you'll find out that the Obedouin tribes around Israel actually call their tents their shadow, because they hand it up and get in the shadow in the daytime to stay out of the sun. And so they refer to their tent, their covering, as a shadow. What it said was, blessed are they who can abide in the presence of the Almighty because they're under his cover. Amen. I want to tell you, honey, I don't want anything getting to me. I like the idea of having a roof over my head at night. Come on, church. Amen. I like going to bed and not seeing the stars unless I'm camping out. Hello? So we need a roof to protect us, to cover us. But not only that, and I'm hurrying, we got to have a door. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. So some of y'all can go ahead and get excited. Isaiah 60, chapter verse 16. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I'll bring silver, for wood, brass, and for stone, iron. I will also make the officers peace and thine extractors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy hand, with not destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call the walls of salvation and the gates praise. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophecy is talking about the coming Messiah and the promises that are going to happen when he gets here. But we understand in the Gospel of John, verse chapter 10, verse 7, and then Jesus said again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. For I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I understand that Jesus Christ is the door. He is my way. He is my truth. He is my life. And by him, I've got a right to get into the very house of God. And God is building a church. He is the door. He is the foundation. He is the roof. I make the wall up that God uses to reach out, but at the same time, that wall is bound together by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit and the life that God has given unto me. Amen. And can I tell you, sometimes I've got to get through that door, and not all time can I just walk up and open the knob. But I listen to this, when the Bible tells me in the 100th Psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and under his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and forever and forever. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If I want to get in on this building, all I got to do is open up and say, God, use me for your glory, and he'll use me for the glory of his kingdom. Glory. I want to share something with you, church, and I'm closing. When I came here to be your pastor, I felt like and still feel like God sent me here. I know there were some thought that this was set up, but it wasn't. The only setup was the guy that y'all supposed to voted on that you didn't vote for. And the overseer of the state of Alabama caught some flack from Cleveland because he couldn't get the other guy in here. So I assure you, he didn't put me here to make himself happy, because he caught a lot of flack from Cleveland because there was another guy they wanted here. And if he didn't come, they wanted the other guy here so they could send him where he was. They basically didn't care if I got anywhere. But I had a God that had an appointment. It wasn't an accident. I went to camp meeting and a guy takes me in a back room to give me a word and said, I really don't understand why I'm going to give this to you because you're an evangelist. I said, I'm not anymore. And he goes, really? Then that's why I need to tell you this. And he proceeded to tell me about a change coming and God moving and the church growing. I don't think it's an accident that every evangelist we've had here has talked about God getting ready to do something in this church. I did something last night I hadn't done in a while. I went to a church and preached a revival service. The lady that pastors the minor church of God asked me if I'd like to preach her last service for a revival. I said, yes. I couldn't get her all week. I didn't know if I was having church or not. I told Freda, I said, I'm going. If they have a church, I'm going to be there. If they don't, I'll be back home. I got there and they were all ready to go. They'd had a fish fry and a big thing that afternoon. And I got there and time to sit down and eat some fish before church. And man, we had church. They had a singing group that'd been there all week and been through everything that went on around there because they're just off the side of where all that trouble was. And I get in there and preach. We have church. We have the altar service. And it was an awesome time in God. And all of a sudden, this lady walks up to me and she said, I've never met you before, but God showed you to be in a dream. And she said, I believe I came from Tennessee just to tell you something. She said, because I just didn't feel nothing like this till tonight. And you showed up. And when you walked through the door, she said, I just almost left the building because I said, hey, that's him. She said, the Lord told me to tell you there's a door open in front of you. And a harvest is there. If you would just get prepared and get workers to go with you, there is no end to the harvest that is in front of you. Church, I am a very cautious person, sometimes cautious to a fault when it comes to people giving me words. But since Ron Phillip gave me that word 5 years ago at the camp meeting, and it was confirmed by Martin Taylor that night that something was going on in my life and it's all starting to come together, I'm beginning to realize this was the door that was open all along that they've been talking about, and the harvest is right here in Alabaster, and it's time some of us realize God's been planting for years and it's time for us to get a harvest. It's time for us to go out into the fields and let people know there is a God that cares and a God that loves you and a God that can do something. And if we will become the church, God will build his church. Could you stand with me all over the house if you will? Let me tell you something, church. Alberta City Church of God done something amazing last Sunday morning. They doubled their attendance from the Sunday before. You know what they did? It was just amazing. They invited people to church. Well, that's almost unheard of now. But every member of that church invited no less than 7 people. And on Sunday morning, there was 2 people past double the number of people they had the week before for their Sunday morning service. If everybody in this building would get involved and invite 7 people to church. I'm not telling you to call your loved ones that go to church. I don't want somebody else's sheep. There's enough sheep out here, ain't in nobody's pasture, that we can get up here. Invite them to church and say, hey, We want you to go to the house of God. Come be with us. You say, why seven? We get that many, we won't get them in the building. And one of them ain't coming. But if everybody here asks seven, at least one or two of everybody that asks is going to show up, and we could double attendance next week. Where will we put them? If you get that many coming every Sunday, I'll preach three times if I have to. It's not a big problem. But we need to go to work.
Amen.
Last week we had a great crowd, but you know the greatest part of the service last week was that young man falling in this altar and asking Jesus Christ into his life. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line of everything we ought to do as Christians, is to win somebody to the kingdom of God, to help them. And God is getting ready to build a church, and he's looking for some people that's willing to go to work. And if we are, God's ready to do a work. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see it happen. I'm ready to see God do a great thing here. And I believe God's ready to do it. And I believe if we'll just turn loose and let God use us, we can see it. Let me tell you something, church. Frieda and I went by Fleetwood yesterday. We stopped and looking at the church and the parsonage. I walked over to the parsonage, was talking to the pastor's wife and his daughter. He and his son-in-law was down at their house fixing some damage they had. And I remembered prayer conference about 10 years ago. We were having ordination service, and I was helping pray for the people's being ordained. And I'll never forget the first couple I came to. They're personal friends of mine. I introduced them. I did their wedding when they got married. So when that girl hugged my neck, I didn't think a whole lot about it. The next couple, they've been friends of mine since before they got married also. I didn't do the wedding, but I've known them since before they met and got married. And it didn't bother me when they hugged my neck because I knew them. They were personal friends. I got to that third couple, and I shook their hands, and I knew the name. But I had no idea why that lady locked around me like she had lost her best friend and she just found them. And I'm standing there in front of prayer conference, God and everybody going, uh-oh. And I'm looking at the guy beside me, saw the look on my face. He said, you all right? And I said, I have no idea who she is. And she says, I know you don't know me. She said, but you used to come to my house on Sunday morning and help me and my sisters get ready to go to church. And you want my stepdad to the Lord and my mom back to the Lord. And she said, my husband and I now pastor in the church of God because you were willing to take your time. I don't know if y'all understand it, but that's better than any paycheck I ever got for preaching a sermon. And there's some of those paychecks out there for some of you if you just get involved in the building of a church. Just telling people about Jesus and loving them. Just some little something that changes their lives will mark you in their heart forever. Father, I thank you this morning for your love and mercy, for the power of your grace. Holy Spirit of God, touch your people. Make us, God, sit in heavenly places with you. Father, it is in Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Have your way. Jesus, have your way.